We looked at three different important data sets, of course, disease-free survival, which was the primary endpoint. And then we also looked at distant disease-free survival because that's a good surrogate for overall survival. And then we actually had data to present on overall survival, even though the median follow-up on the combined data set is only 2 years. There was actually statistically significant difference in survival already.
And that was really shocking to see that this was a two-year analysis.
Yeah.
I guess that part of that reflects the adverse prognosis of these
Absolutely.
Patients.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, these patients, you know, they don't wait 10 years to have events. If they're going to relapse, it's going to be pretty soon. You know, when the disease-free survival analysis in the control arm, there were 25% recurrences at 3 years. So that just tells you the aggressiveness of this disease.
Now, these patients were primarily node positive.
They were. They all started out node positive, and that's because in our initial negotiations with the FDA, and because of the cardiac toxicity issues with trastuzumab and chemotherapy, it was really important to restrict it to a true high-risk group. And it's probably still is true that, you know, the more nodes you have in HER2-positive breast cancer, the more high-risk you are. So it was really restricted that way in both trials. And it was in, I think, May of 2003 that the intergroup amended their protocol to open it up to what they defined as high-risk node negative, which is basically ER-negative, HER2-positive, or ER-positive tumors that were larger than 2 centimeters, but also HER2-positive. So they opened up to that, but in the overall data set, there were only 100 patients or so in each arm that were really node negative.
What were your thoughts when you saw those data? You know, the press release talked about a 52% difference in recurrence, which is impressive enough. Mm-hmm. But when I saw those curves and everybody else saw those curves, there was sort of something visual about it that was hard to describe.
Right. You know, those are relative risks. And, of course, if you have a trial that shows 4% recurrence in one arm and 8% in the other arm, you call that a 50% risk reduction. But the thing that's impressive is the absolute difference between the two arms. And the disease-free survival at 3 years, which is actually quite firm because there's a lot of women out 3 years now, the absolute difference in disease-free survival was 12%, and the estimate at 4 years is 18% difference. So that is really, really striking.
The other thing, and the slide just sort of jumped out there, and I was kind of trying to grasp it, was your slide looking at distant disease-free survival.
Yeah.
Could you describe that? Because as I saw it sort of fly by, I was like, what?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, I know. That's the best slide.
Yeah, it was.
It's absolutely the best slide. The distant disease-free survival is very, very compelling. At 3 years of follow-up, distant disease-free in the trastuzumab arm is 90%. In the control arm, it was 81%. At 4 years in the control arm, it drops to 74%. The relapses keep coming in terms of distant sites. But in the trastuzumab arm, at 3 years, it's 90%, and at 4 years, it's 90%. And what that means is that we are not seeing late recurrences so far on the trastuzumab-treated patients. We have very few recurrences in the fourth year. Now, there's only a few hundred women out actually 4 years. And so there's more wiggle room in that data than there is at 3 years where there's, you know, plenty of women that are out that far. But if this really holds out for another year, we may actually be seeing for the first time a plateauing in survival from breast cancer. And that's never happened.
When I saw that slide, I almost thought it was like, well, if the patient escapes in the first couple of years, that's okay, they escape. But then after that, it's kind of like they're controlled.
Yeah.
It sort of looked like that.
Yeah, and I showed that on the next slide, which showed the recurrence over time.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking
about. And that one.
There were very few recurrences after.
That's right, it dropped.
And that was after what, after 2 years?
Well, both the control arm and the trastuzumab-treated arm had their highest rate of recurrences and distant recurrences in the second year. It was 90 per 1,000 women per year in the second year, and about 40 per 1,000 women per year in the second year in the trastuzumab-treated arm. But then in the control arm, the rate of distant recurrence was essentially the same in the third year and the fourth year, whereas on the trastuzumab-treated arm, it just plummeted after the, you know, went down further in the third year and way down in the fourth year. So if that really holds over time, it's a little early to really say that with a lot of confidence, but if that holds over time, this is going to completely change the ball game in these HER2 positive breast cancers.
What do you think it means?
It may mean that these patients are actually being cured early. That's what I would love for it to mean. We can't say that with confidence yet, but if this holds up, it could be that exciting.
Now, you weren't expecting, I guess, to see an overall survival benefit at this point.
Not at 2 years.
But you did.
You never see that in an adjuvant trial in 2 years.
But you did.
Yeah. I mean, in 93-44 and in B28, which tested the addition of paclitaxel to AC, you know, it took forever to see a survival difference in those.
And what were the actual numbers in this situation?
Well, the survival difference in overall survival, the difference was 2.5% at 3 years, which was statistically significant because we had 3,351 women. And the estimated difference at 4 years is 4.8%.
And that translates to a relative risk of, I think it was over 30%?
Yeah, there were 90-something recurrences in the control arm and 60 in the trastuzumab-treated arm. So it was actually a 33% relative risk reduction in survival at 3 years.